better never rest.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. Georgia back on the board with another set of commits. A ridiculous weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to talk about it all today here on the Georgia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you being here. I'm Jake Roos. He is Jake Rowe. And we are presented tonight, as always, by American Pride Bank. Great friends in the banking industry, and they can be friends of yours as well. They do a number of services, all of your personal banking needs, small banking, small business loans, et cetera, et cetera. If they can help you in the business realm with your banking, they'll do it. You talk to decision makers every step of the way when it comes to American Pride Bank. So get with them in Alpharetta, in Athens, at AmericanPride.bank. A number of ways that you can get in touch with American Pride Bank. If you're looking for some new solutions for your banking needs, you can check with them today. They are member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Jake Rowe, it's been another big, big weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs, man. This train doesn't seem to be slowing down by any stretch of the imagination. The Bulldogs, again, back on the board. Two major targets, two guys that they have pursued for a long, long time in this class of 2026, and that's five-star tight end Caden Prothrow and four-star safety Tyreek Green. I think that there is a little bit of discussion as to whether or not Prothrow will end up being, you know, the proper tight end. I think that he hits the commit list in that way. To me, he's got some offensive weapon capabilities, a guy that you could probably split out as an X as well. He does a lot of that in high school for Bowden. And then Tyreek Green, a safety by trade, but seems to me like he'd be a real fine fit for the star position in Athens.
Yeah, I mean, to start with Prothrow, you lose, you know, I was a big Kendre Harrison fan. And Oregon gets Kendre Harrison, big Mark Bowman guy too. You know, that rolls down with USC and how that goes. And then Georgia, it just kind of lets you know how big of a player they were for the big time tight ends in this class. Get Caden Prothrow. And I'm not saying he was lesser or more than. I think if you'd have given Georgia the ideal class, they'd land Prothrow and Bowman probably, and that probably called it, you know, took up shop then. We said last week when Georgia added Braden Fogle that this wasn't a situation where, you know, it was going to speak to Caden Prothrow. It wasn't going to hurt with Caden Prothrow. It wasn't going to, you know, change kind of how he felt about Georgia. In fact, I said, it, you know, if you're talking to him about the idea that he's going to be a multifaceted weapon in your offense, that taking another tight end and kind of showing him, hey, we're going to fill up these tight end slots. We're going to fill these two tight end slots. We're bringing you in as a guy who can do that but can do other things. It kind of puts that out there. One of the things I shared over at Dogs HQ, went a little bit more in depth with this, was I don't know why there was ever any really question or growing optimism from another program. And that's not me saying that against anybody, but this has been well known for a little while that this was probably going to go this way, really since his official visit, and maybe even a little bit before that. I think Georgia, when Mark Bowman didn't come, I was pretty confident that Georgia was going to make this happen. But, you know, there was some optimism on Texas's side, as reported by Steve Wiltfong, and I know nobody that's more accurate than Steve is, so I'm sure Texas, he was getting that out of Texas's camp. And then Tyreek Green, you know, Rusty has brought this one up a lot. Tyreek Green is to Rusty what Rashawn Dinkins was to me in the last class. You know, like I saw the same type of player in Rashawn Dinkins, and I see, obviously, Tyreek Green's a heck of a ball player too. And, you know, you could tell that there was a lot of love there for Georgia. But a multifaceted, again, defensive back, play safety, play, you know, star, reminds me probably a little bit more of Tyke Smith.
Okay.
Than he does Javon Bullard. Just because I kind of see Javon Bullard was a good player and a little bit of a playmaker, but Tyke Smith was so downhill. And so, you know, nasty when it came up to making tackles in the backfield that I liken Tyreek Green a little bit more toward him. I really do think Rashawn Dinkins is more of your Javon Bullard type. But, hey, Georgia will take all those they can get.
Yeah, I mean, the physicality is what's going to stand out when you turn on the tape for Tyreek Green. I mean, he's just a willing striker, a guy who's going to get his face mask in there and make a play. And like you said, multifaceted, I think people probably underestimate the fact he plays running back for Buford. And that's not exactly an easy gig because Buford is playing some of the best competition in the state, which is some of the best competition in the country. That's a coveted job to be the running back at Buford. The fact that this guy's playing both ways for a program of that caliber really speaks to kind of the athlete that he is. You've got verified track times on him. He's a guy who just does a number of things and does them all very, very well. And like you said, you know, there's this love from Rusty. There was a love from Kirby Smart when it came to Tyreek Green. This is one of those recruitments that he was super involved with, and you don't see that with just everybody in the class. Green was a guy that Kirby took a vested interest in and had for some time. I mean, Georgia's been on this guy, I want to say, since his sophomore year at worst, probably freshman year, at least knew who he was. Traveris Robinson knew him from his time at Alabama. I mean, this is a long-term relationship that's been building there. Kind of switching gears over to ProThrow, a guy, again, that they knew about for a long time. I think everybody had this guy on the radar. From a physical standpoint, not going to find just a ton of guys like this in this or any class. You know, 6 foot, 6.5-ish, 215 pounds, super long, man. And a guy that Bowden puts out there at the X or at, you know, wide receiver one, just says, hey, look, go out, make a play, get up, catch the ball. He's able to get over top of guys, as you would imagine. He just does a number of things really, really well. And ProThrow, one of those guys. Georgia hasn't necessarily moved from this place with a lot of these tight ends. I feel like they've kind of maintained bodies to some degree. You didn't see them just bulk a ton of dudes up at tight end. But this is a guy who, if they wanted to, has the frame that you could add another 20 pounds to quite easily, I think. It wouldn't be a huge jump for him. So, you know, he's a good route runner. You see that. I mean, he's able to take it the distance every time. Bowden, they've won two or three state championships here in like the last 4 years. Caden ProThrow, been a big reason. He's been a major playmaker for them. So, love this guy's game. I think that this is kind of gives you an idea of him at wideout. I mean, just go over of a guy. I mean, you know, just I hesitate. I don't know exactly how much, Jake, that he's going to be an inline guy just out there kind of blocking his ass off. I think he has the capability to do that, don't get me wrong, but I do think that Fogle and Keys, to me, in this class make a bit more sense to play that role. They're just, I would say, more naturally built to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've come up with my comparison has been kind of Kyle Pitts, but I could also see maybe a little Lawrence Cager in there too. Okay. You know, similar guy. You know, the thing that he does for you, though, let's say you're in 12 personnel and, you know, you line up in a bunch set, you kind of got to treat that like 13 personnel. You got two tight ends and, you know, two real deal inline tight ends and Caden ProThrow kind of in a bunch to the top. I mean, it's really tough to play that. It's tough to kind of sort that out. I mean, are you going to put a corner in there to kind of cover one of those guys and be a run support guy? Cause they're giving up a lot there. You're going to move a safety down. Are you going to move a linebacker out? I mean, it's just matchup problems big time. And you know, one thing that Georgia learned with Brock Bowers was the value of having a guy on the field that changed your personnel packages just based on your own whim. Like, you know, no matter how Todd Monken or Mike Bobo wanted to use Brock Bowers, they could make a defense wrong. You know, I mean, if a defense, if Brock Bowers was on the field and teams were geared up for 11 personnel, you know, Georgia would use him as a back, or they would use it as you know, as 10 personnel with four wide receivers. I mean, just the versatility there is hard to find. And then that one's the big one for me, just in terms of the offense. I mean, when you add, listen, I think the world of Craig Dandridge. And I think Craig Dandridge, you know, the more I've watched him and the more I've looked at his productivity, I think Craig Dandridge is a high school, you know, wide receiver that should be celebrated in this class. I'm also a big fan of, you know, what Jared Curtis brings to the table just in terms of raw athleticism and skill set. I haven't changed my mind there on feeling like Bo Bentley was probably the more sure thing of those two players. But ultimately, when you kind of get down to everything, I think it's important to kind of understand that Georgia has really, in this class and last class too, upped the overall talent level on the offensive side of the ball. And you know, do you do that with Caden Prothrow? You do that with Braden Fogle, with Lincoln Keys and Trey Lamar. You know, the list goes on. Jared Curtis and then all the wideouts they brought in last class. It's a really good-looking group. And, you know, by the way, you've also got some pretty good offensive linemen mixed in there too, like Juan Gaston and Akinne Ogboko.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that that's maybe even an understatement to say that they've elevated it. I mean, I feel like they've changed the face of at least the pass catchers massively in the last two classes. Yeah, James Coley has done an absolute bang-up job when it comes to the wide receiver position. And then you go out in this class, and then previous class too, you had Elias Williams and Ethan Barbour, and then you go out and add three guys of this caliber, three four-star or better tight ends. The tight end room is stacked. The wide receiver room is finally, I think, in the place that people had long hoped it would be, with guys like Talon Taylor, a guy like Craig Dandridge, who is primed for a rise in the rankings by all measures. You know, I think that this it's been clear, right? Georgia has had no problems under Kirby Smart recruiting the defensive side of the ball. But there were times when you said, this is a little thinner than it probably feels like it should be at some of these positions. That's not the case any longer. And I think that a second running back would go a long way to probably making people feel a little bit better about that room, just given that they came off of one guy last year. Maybe you go the transfer portal route again. I think that, you know, that's always on the table for that position. But a number of really, really strong additions here. Georgia's offense looking like a completely different animal since the end of May, really. And one of the best classes in the country. I said yesterday, USC still holds the number one spot. Would you trade with them?
Nah, definitely. No, I think Georgia's class is pretty awesome as it is. And we're going to get to that for sure. I did want to get into this Tyreek Green film, though. I see, you know, you watch it, you see what Rusty's talking about with this kid, kind of the headhunter, big-time tackler. I love the fact that he plays both ways. That was something Jeremy Pruitt was really big into. I remember when he was at Georgia and he and I would talk about, you know, recruiting. He loved it when guys played both ways at the high school level. And, Tyreek, you know, I didn't have the film up a while ago whenever you were talking about him, but this is him, you know, kind of getting a look at what he's all about. And as a running back, I mean,
yeah,
probably a G5 level running back. This would probably in 2 or 3 years make you think about, oh my God, should we get him out of the portal?
Sure. No, absolutely, man. I mean, like I said, to me, that screams that this is, like I said, Buford is not lacking for talent. There are guys who want to be at Buford and they want starting spots at Buford. This guy just so happens to have two of those starting spots at Buford.
Yeah, you don't really have to play guys both ways at Buford.
Exactly.
You know who gets out there returning punts. I mean, you know, I don't know.
You know who gets to do stuff like that? KJ Bolden.
Yeah, KJ Bolden types. That's right. Yeah.
Tyreek Green. He's a different look at my man over there celebrating, throwing his arms up. Yeah. I mean, I love this guy's film. And like I said, to me, a huge testament that Kirby Smart was as involved as he was in this one. This is one of those guys that he felt like, I think, it seemed anyway that he was like, look, we cannot miss on this guy. This is our
guy. That was a pooch kick gone wrong right there. They just thought they could pooch it to Tyreek Green and not pay for it. And there it goes. What a kickoff return that was.
No, absolutely.
No, but you're 100% right. That's always going to say something. That's always going to speak volumes whenever Kirby Smart takes on that role of primary recruiter, of getting super. I mean, he's involved in all of it, but whenever he kind of becomes personally involved with something, and I think you see that sometimes when Georgia stacks a class up, and that's what they've done at defensive back. I mean, look at it from the safety position. Jordan Smith, Zach Fort, yep.
Keelan Jones.
Yeah. And Tyreek Green now. Yep. So they had to add him to that list. And then also you look at the cornerback spot. Minka Fitzpatrick, Justice Fitzpatrick, Caden Harris, and Chase Calicut. So yep. That's seven defensive backs. What a bounce back for those two coaches in this class after kind of getting raked over the coals a little bit in the last one for the guys that they didn't bring in.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's like I said, man, I understood, you know, people were not super happy with it last time. Travaris Robinson did not forget how to recruit. I promise.
Neither did Dante Williams.
And Dante Williams was brought in.
That was another one of my contentions. Is like coming into this offseason, you know, everybody was like, yeah, you know, Kirby's clearly lost it. You know, like he's clearly, you know, too close to this thing. He's brought Mike Bobo and Stacey Searles and Dante Williams back and all this. And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, like, when has Kirby ever got it wrong at the cornerbacks coach? Like, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess he could be due, but like, what connections does he have to Dante Williams? Like, this is, there's a reason these guys were brought back, and Mike Bobo recruited really well in this cycle. And I think, like, you know, Stacey Searles, listen, Stacey Searles got a Louisiana purchased, okay? Miami purchased, if you would, yeah, if you should say. Sure. He just got purchased on the Jackson Cantwell front. But no, this is shaping up to be an excellent class. And, you know, for those who are like, man, what's happened? What's happened? The same thing that always happens, man. Georgia's recruiting. They recruit really well. And, you know, I do think that the house settlement and some other things kind of, and there took a little while for their philosophy to unwind. But not only has this been a June and July that's just as good as the previous Junes and Julys that we've seen, it's been better. And they needed that, but they didn't make you wait. They didn't have to do anything at the last minute to make all this happen. They went out and they got some really good players, and they are 0.007 behind USC for the number one class. And we'll see, you know, that's certainly within the margins of error when it comes to rankings updates.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. They could make that gap up, and it'll be interesting to see if they do here in the next little bit, because we do have a re-rank coming soon. But look, before we get into all that top class discussion, sunheist.com, if you're looking to get some new shades, right? Summer, you're out on the lake, you're out on the fields, you're gearing up for tailgating.
Are you fighting for your meals?
Football's coming very, very soon, all right? You're getting ready for the tailgate season to be here. You need a new pair of shades. Sunheist.com, the place to go and get them. DogsHQ20, the code to use when you do go get them. They've got a variety of styles over at Sun Heist. Incredible customization. So many different styles, different lenses you can use. The combinations are kind of endless. We need to get one of those math guys that can tell you how many different combinations there are to this thing. But they've got a ton of different ways for you to customize it. Injected polarization, Ro looking at the polarized ones here. So no delamination. You don't have to worry about that with your Sun Heist classes. The customer service, second to none. Free returns. Look, order a pair, try them on, see if you like them. If you don't, send them back. It's that easy, but my guess is once you try on a pair of Sun Heist, you're not going to want to. Get over, check them out. Use our code DOGSHQ20 for 20% off your first purchase. I don't know what else to say other than you need to get on them. I know Jake Rowe has been eyeing these redwoods for some time.
Yeah, we're about to.
I think he's just building his pair live on the air right now.
I got caught up in it. This is kind of like that time that me and Wes were on post game for the SEC championship game. And they were putting that net in the trash can. Yeah. And I just got lost on it. That's not bad. Yeah, these redwoods are awesome. I've tried these on about six times. I can't wait to get a pair.
Yeah, absolutely. Get over, check them out. Like I said, great folks, local folks. You're supporting a Georgia-based business and people who love the dogs as well. And it helps us out, so why not? Sunheist.com, the spot to be.
So, we mentioned it a second ago. Georgia's knocking on the door of this number one class. And it does – you asked a really good question. I wouldn't trade this for USC's class, Mark Bowman notwithstanding. Mark Bowman's something else now. Sure. But what about you? What's your thoughts on maybe trading this class with what USC's got going on?
No, I certainly not. I think that what you have to do is consider this all in context. That's always how recruiting works, in my opinion. But this one is especially true because Georgia, I think, has done an exceptional job of dealing with needs. I think that when it comes to – look, I mean, they've got several defensive linemen in this class. They've got several defensive backs. You saw that those classes were a bit lighter in previous years. Last year, you only had two defensive linemen. You had a plethora of safeties last year, but you know, you can't go out and find – I mean, Jordan Smith may very well find himself in the cornerback mix at some point. It's not out of the realm of possibility with the abilities that he has. So I think that there are you have to consider it through that lens. Georgia has done an exceptional job of identifying and addressing needs. And if they're a little bit down the list, I think that that might be why, because it's not all just come down to, okay, let's go snap up the number one guy, because I mean, they would have loved to have gotten Jackson Cantwell. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that, you know, they've got a solid tackle in Akane Agboko. I do think they could use a little more help on the offensive line in this class. Personally, I think that that would be advantageous for them. A second running back would look nice. But outside of that, Jake, you're kind of nitpicking, in my opinion. I mean, you look at that. 2 5 stars, 21 four stars. Alabama, that's kind of sick. They have five.
Yeah,
five stars.
What's wild about that, though, is it's not going to finish that way.
Sure.
Like Sidarian Morgan and Xavier Crowell and those guys are probably not going to end up being five stars. Just kind of looking at where they're ranked and you know, how, you know, being on the low end of five star range, just don't see them sticking throughout. There's going to be some churn there. So they're probably, I mean, Alabama's still going to end up with three or four probably, but I very seriously doubt they end up with five or more.
Well, and I think both you and I believe that if Georgia doesn't have a five-star in Seven Cloud, he's an incredibly high four-star.
Yeah, totally.
If you were to rank him, you know, as part of this 2026 class and not as a JUCO guy, I think that he would certainly be in that mix as well. But yeah, you go look at, I mean, Jared Curtis, Pro Throw. What's impressive, Jake, and I'm I'm going to kind of take a shot at a post that was on our board a couple weeks ago. How many top 100 guys that they've got in this class? They have reeled in some top 100 talent and really done a lot of that heavy lifting over the course of the last, what, four and a half?
Yeah, they're weeks. Up to eight, which is very strong. The average is right around 10 for Georgia, you know, so – I can see where somebody might be coming from on that, but I mean, look at it from the outside. You know, I think eventually, you know, a guy like Jay Lamar, a guy like Chase Calicut, all of these dudes, Kamari Brooks, Craig Dandridge, I think all of those are going to challenge for top 100 spots. Lincoln Keys, you know, I think, you know, a bunch of them have a good opportunity to kind of move up and show and give Georgia kind of a boost in those numbers. That could have a guy or two, you know, fall out as well, but. You know, I look at this class, and you're right. You think about who's on the board. They're looking for D linemen. They're looking for linebackers.
Corners.
Looking for positions they recruit really well. And then, you know, you got Derek Cooper there at running back, too. Another possible top 100. Tyler Atkinson, another possible top 100. Valdine Sohn will end up a top 100 prospect. There's almost no doubt in my mind he's going to end up being a top 100 prospect. So, you know, and I think Justice Fitzpatrick and James Johnson have an excellent chance to be five stars before sure. This thing's over with too. So, you know, there's a lot still to go as far as this class goes.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, let's also call it what it is too, to say that quarterback was probably your largest need in this class. It was a bit of a down year last year for quarterback. Georgia has not really reeled in that guy in a long time, and you go out and you get him in Jared Curtis. And so Kudos for addressing probably the elephant in the room when it comes totally. When it came to this class. But the D lineman, the stacking of the D lineman to me is what's so impressive, because that's a hard thing to come by.
That's a 5.5 or a 6 star right there. Almost when you think about getting kind of your crown jewel, the number one quarterback, you know, I mean, Michigan doing it last year. It's the whole talk of what they've got going on with Bryce Underwood right now. You know, sure. I mean, that's the thing everybody's talking about is Bryce Underwood. So yeah, when you land that quarterback, when you get kind of that guy to be the crown jewel of your class, it's a big deal. And I guess the next question for me becomes, does number one class come down to Tyler Atkinson or not? And for me, that's a yes, because he's going to remain a five-star. He's probably going to be a five-star plus guy who's going to be a five-star across all rankings when all is said and done. So when I look at him, I think if Georgia gets him and holds on to what they've got, let's say they miss on Valdin Sohn and Derek Cooper and everybody else, I don't see anybody chasing them down.
I don't know. I don't know that it does come down to Tyler Atkinson. And the reason I would say that is because I don't, because Tyler Atkinson's not in the mix for USC. And I think that Georgia versus USC is going to kind of end up being the battle toward the end here.
Well, so I just think USC's done. USC's going to finish behind Georgia unless Georgia has some defections.
Bring that list back up. Who else is challenging?
The list of let's look.
Yeah, the team.
Yeah, A&M, Notre Dame, Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, Oregon are kind of all right there in the mix. And there's a lot of meat left on the bone for those classes. I mean, Georgia, the one thing that needs to be noted is the fact that Georgia is significantly higher.
I was going to say that's a decent gap between three and two.
Yeah. But they're significantly higher just in terms of commitments there too. You know, so, you know, I don't know how much left for Texas A&M and Notre Dame. You know, those are pretty big classes already, but you know, Alabama's got some four stars. I'm sure they've still kind of got in the mix there. LSU's got a small class right now at 16.
Very small.
Yeah. But I mean, here's the kicker for Georgia. You see my mouse right there circling the 2 5 stars and 21 four stars.
Yeah.
When you start talking about a class of 23 four-star or higher prospects, it's really hard for me to look at anybody else's class and say, hey, your class is better than that one definitively.
Right. Well, like you said, I mean, look at Alabama's class. You got 19 kids, but you're not going to – I guess I shouldn't say not. There's, let's say they add 10 more guys. It seems unlikely to me that they will add 13 more four-stars. I just don't even know that there are 13 more four-stars lingering out there that they need or want for that regard. But, you know, yeah, Georgia –
look at the blue-chip ratios in these classes, you know, the 4+5-star percentage. Georgia's right there at 79.31%. Texas A&M, I believe, is the only school that's higher at 83.33%. And then you start looking down, even Alabama's class is at 68.42% because they've got a smaller class with a bunch of three stars in there, a good chunk of them. Oregon's right there on Georgia's heels. And then you start to get past there. And I mean, look at Tennessee right here. This is kind of an abysmal five-star blue chip recruiting right here. Look at this, 52.38%.
Look at you zooming in. That's so unnecessary. Sorry. I got to tell you too. I like looking at these numbers. I feel like Texas A&M is doing this all very, very quietly.
Yeah, they are, and they're doing a lot of it, dude. Look at this. Texas A&M's recruiting the state of Georgia like a wild man. Bryce Perry Wright, which, you know, I think he's a really good player. I don't think he's the number 33 player in the country.
Tristan Givens.
Tristan Givens, another guy Georgia wasn't really that high on. They landed him. Aaron Gregory, you know,
Georgia would love to have had him.
Yeah. So, you know, Jordan Carter is another one. That's a really good player. They've recruited the state of Georgia really well, and kudos to them. Georgia wasn't really a big factor for three of those guys.
Yeah.
When I say Tyler Atkinson decides it, I think Tyler Atkinson, again, Georgia,
with a couple of
caveats, maybe coach Georgia and Teflon as far as the number one class goes.
That I could see. I could see that for sure. You know, I think that given where we think he might land, I think a guy like Valdin Sohn could also do that.
If he climbs up there, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. He could push Georgia into a ranking like that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. And, I mean, we may not have to wait. We talked about this on the show the other day, Jeremy and I. We may not have to wait too much longer to find out on Tyler Atkinson. It sounds like this thing kind of could be winding down in the next, you know, month or so. So, wouldn't be shocked to see that get done before the season begins. And it would go a long, long way to Teflon coating Georgia, just like you said.
Yeah, for sure.
MyPerfectFranchise.net, speaking of Teflon. You can't franchise Teflon, okay? But you could go out and find a franchise that perhaps deals in those sorts of products. I don't know because I'm not in that world, but Andy Ludeke and the team over at MyPerfectFranchise.net is, and they are the experts on this stuff. So whether you're looking for something in food service, and I say this all the time, you don't have to open a Subway. You don't have to open a McDonald's, but you could. They have resources to connect you all along the way with varying franchises. There's a ton of different ones out there, whether it's cleaning, whether it's building, whether it's et cetera, et cetera. They help pair you with the one that makes the most sense for you and your business goals. Get over to check out MyPerfectFranchise.net today and see how they can help you kind of take control of your life and your future in the business world. That is what they do, and their services are free to you. They are paid by the people who are selling the franchises. So they got no skin in the game from you. They just want to help you get where you want to be. So get with Andy and the team over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. See how they can help you today.
One more thing, Jake, before we let these fine folks go. Trey Phelps, do-it-all player at Georgia. He's played third base. He's played first base. He's played left field. He's played right field, and he's DH in his Georgia career. One of those dudes that has played 2 years at Georgia, he is a true rising junior, but was old enough coming out that he was able to kind of entertain the MLB draft. Well, here we are on the precipice, and he's decided to come back. And this is a guy who's hit well over 300 twice for Georgia. He's a slugger. He drives in a lot of runs. He brings attitude. He brings confidence to this team. And, you know, this team we followed closely throughout the year, and it didn't end the way they wanted it to. You know, get bounced in three games in their own regional, that sucks. But getting a run it back from a marquee player on your team, oftentimes, we've seen it so many times, is the difference between, you know, you being a tier one or tier two team or tier two to tier three. It makes a difference, and Georgia gets that with Trey Phelps coming back for his final season at Georgia. What we assume to be his final season.
Yeah, very likely, right? I mean, and as probably the prominent voice for UGA baseball that I am, I would say that he – no, I'm not even going to pretend. Look, it's big anytime you get a guy like this back. Like you said, somebody with swagger, confidence, experience, a guy who could have tested those waters but chose not to, right? That sends a message, I think, to the rest of the team of how he feels like this team stacks up. You know, you got to – listen, he probably didn't lack for options in the transfer portal if he wanted to go that route either. So there were a number of ways that this could have played itself out, and Georgia on the receiving end is some great news. It's huge, huge for Wes Johnson and the team over there to get a guy of this caliber back. And, you know, bodes well for their future, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the few guys they have this year that could kind of put the bat on the ball and hit it hard against lefties. You know, he – battled a hamstring injury, but this guy got so hot late in the season. Two times in a row, he's been, you know, first team. All, I mean, he's been on the all regional team. You know, so this guy hits in the postseason too. I don't know. It's like I said, going all the way back to before Nick Chubb and Sony Michel decided to come back for the football team. When you get superstars that decide to come back and play for your team, you're better. You're just better. And Trey Phelps qualifies as that for Georgia baseball. Huge boost for Wes Johnson and that crew because they did a lot of work in the transfer portal. They grabbed some good pitching. They're going to need the MLB draft to kind of play out for them in certain ways. I know that some of those guys that they went after, especially the pitchers that they got, are going to entertain it. But Trey Phelps is one they don't have to worry about anymore. He's made that decision, and I'm sure Wes Johnson loved to hear it.
Absolutely. No question about it. Guys, appreciate you tuning in this evening here on The Georgia Show. We will be back with you later this week to discuss whatever happenings there are, and there are always happenings. But stay tuned here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed, please do. You can be alerted whenever we go live. We appreciate you tuning in this evening, and we will be back with you very, very soon.
Hold on. I got something I want to show you real quick. I had to show that Tennessee blue chip percentage one more time.
You had to do it again.
Hey, that was presented by American Pride Bank. We love those guys. We appreciate them. Thank you to Sun Heist. Thanks to everybody. We'll see you guys later on in a week.
Cheers.